you graduated, went on to Howard.
Yeah.
Did you come right back to Louisville after Howard?
Almost. I stayed up there a couple months, several months.
Mm-hmm. And you were very much involved in Democratic politics.
Yeah, I was vice chairman. Although, wait a minute, was I still vice? No, they kicked me off. They threw me out. Johnson was president. I had worked the Democratic National Committee and for the inaugural committee. But that same year at our national convention, helped spearhead an anti-Vietnam resolution. So, well, they made me entering the other door quite difficult.
Right. All right.
So, and then I came back to Louisville. I came back to Louisville about 66.
Okay. And started getting involved in politics.
Well,
here.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, I came back looking for a job. Nora Bloom and Lukey Ward and I had known one another. And they called me to ask if I would have some time to help a woman by the name of Georgia Davis who was running for the state senate. And I said, I don't know her. I met her, but I really didn't. And so she and I got together. And I eventually became her campaign manager for that campaign.
Right.
She won. Longtime association. Mm-hmm. Told him this morning, can't shake you with a stick. And that began my involvement. After she won and went to the Senate, she didn't have any slots, of course, because of seniority.
Right.
But Nora Bloom was the chairman of the Labor and Industry Committee. And this was before the General Assembly in Kentucky had paid staff, a professional staff.
Mm-hmm.
So Nora asked me, would I serve as his staff person for the Labor and Industry Committee? I got there, and Julian Carroll decided to expand my roles. I guess they decided, hell, I didn't have but one meeting a week or something like that. And we're going to pay him every day. So I became the assistant reading clerk and Julian's press assistant.
All right. Just keep adding titles.
Yeah, well, they added titles. And basically, you know, press assistant, when they would go into session,
right,
sat over with the press, talked to them, kept them, gave them access, you know.
Right.
Hopefully I didn't have to serve as reading clerk. That, you know, that couple hours that day. Now, that was the boring part.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was fun at times because there was one representative I never could pronounce his name. And I know I wasn't. But it was a great learning experience. And I did that. And it was during that time I met Walter D. Huddleston. Then after that, I went with SCLC for a while as executive director of the Kentucky Christian Leadership Conference.
Oh, okay.
And did that for a couple of years.
Where was that?
In Louisville.
Base? That was this year?
Mm-hmm. A.D. King, or Dr. King, mm-hmm, right after the assassination, I really went with them.
Mm-hmm.
And did that work on the Poor People's Campaign and the sanitation workers strike in St. Petersburg. Then I went into business. I opened a convenient food market, got a franchise. And after about a year and a half, hated it. Something had to be wrong when the most exciting thing, and that you didn't mind getting robbed.
Right.
You know, something has gone seriously wrong.
That's what you're learning, right?
Yeah. I mean, I got tired of doing inventory just to, yeah, and I thought,
that
shit.
Wasn't for you.
No, yeah. No, no. And in 72, Huddleston was running for the U.S. Senate. And I thought, let me get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and worked in that campaign. Mm-hmm. I still had the store then. And surprise, surprise, he won.
Mm-hmm.
And in January of 73, I packed bags and moved to back to D.C. and stay with him his 12 years in the Senate. Became a tourist for about a year.
After that.
He lost in 84. In 86, I finally decided, after I had dinner with Governor Martha Lane Collins one night up in D.C., and she had offered me a job that night when Huddleston lost, by the way. And I came back as Deputy Commissioner of Personnel for the state. Plus other assignments. Because I had turned that down once before because I told her, I don't want to get caught interpreting with personnel regulations, you know.
Right.
That does not seem very exciting.
But?
She said, oh, it may be interesting to you when you get in there, because you're going to have the state's affirmative action plan.
Mm-hmm.
I've just put some goals and timetables into it. So I did that and remained through the next administration.
So
then I took a sabbatical for a while.
So in 75, you were in D.C.?
In 75, I was in D.C.
Okay, but did you hear, I mean, you must have been.
Oh, well, of course.
Well informed.
We read the papers every day. And also, we were somewhat involved because Governor Carroll, Julian Carroll was governor, had asked the senator to hold some congressional hearings on busing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Geared toward opposition. Well, I was terribly upset.
Mm-hmm.
And the senator said, okay, you put everything together. He said, you're right. At the rate they want to go, it is strictly, it's going to be a very biased hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You take the pro-busing position and put those panels together, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, involved.
What was your personal viewpoint on it?
Supported.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, it has been the successful. It is primarily the major vehicle that has ensured the integration of schools in Louisville and Jefferson County. So.
Mm-hmm. But an ongoing process.
A long process, an ongoing process. It has passed Judge Haburn's ruling. It is now passed the Sixth Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy Gordon is going to probably file an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court. The NAACP and I still support the school board in this issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know Teddy Gordon personally?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, he was involved for a long time. Or was he not?
I don't remember.
In civil rights politics.
He's involved politically, and I really don't know his politics that well. I know, you know. I just think he's on the wrong side of the issue.
Mm-hmm. And did they come to the NAACP for, did he come looking for support?
No.
No.
Not since I've been president.
Okay. You think he knew? He knew what response
he knew.
Yes.
Yes. You know, when you, one of our executive committee members is Daryl Owens, who I was talking to when I came in here. Daryl's now has been a Jefferson County Commissioner, now state representative.
Right.
He was president of the branch back in 75 when, and he was one of the attorneys to file suit.
Mm-hmm.
The organization itself just has a long history. And we're not going to turn around now.
Right.
On that. Secondly, there's no viable alternative. Do you go back to the neighborhood concept of schools? Our neighborhoods are segregated, basically. So if you do that, you go back to prior to 75, or even prior to 56.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like, from the people that I've heard opposed, I haven't heard a lot of alternate suggestions.
There have been none.
Yeah.
Except neighborhood concept schools. And of course, that's the ideal. But as long as your neighborhoods are segregated, as long as your neighborhoods are segregated by race,
economics, right.
You're going to have poor all-black schools. Boom.
Right.
So, to me, that's a non-issue. Although we have to continue to be on guard to fight. It's, you know,
right.
But it's just a non-issue.
So have you watched with interest how what's been going on with Central since?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the future holds for Central in the area?
And looking from what I gather, and to be very honest with you, I have not read with that in mind the article that had appeared in the Courier. I read it, but I didn't look specifically for schools to see where Central actually placed under the rating systems.
Oh, just the other day?
Yeah. But it was not in danger.
It wasn't good either, though. Yeah, it wasn't one of the few that was named.
Yeah.
But I think you needed a negative score of 4 to be on that
list
of 6 that were injured danger, and most had 0 or 1, and Central had 3. So Central was.
It's a marginal score.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure what impact that suit that changed Central's enrollment patterns. And you would need to talk to somebody at the board, and I hope you covered that with Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was over there at the school assignment office the other day too.
Okay, and Deanna and I haven't talked.
Yeah.
About that, so I'm not quite up to where I would want to be,
right.
At least in terms of, because my question would be, did the suit itself or the change of Central's enrollment policies, does that have any bearing on its current standing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the crucial question. Yeah, that's something I couldn't get a hard answer to yet.
Yeah, so I don't know the answer to that at this point. Right. I guess everyone's jury is probably still out on that.
I mean, one thing that I did ask about that you can see is that, I mean, clearly there was a lot of white disenrollment from programs at Central, and then you have to ask, you know, what happened, where did they go, and why, right? I mean, particular programs that are there and nowhere else, like veterinary science.
Yeah.
Now there's calls to start a new one somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So we will continue to monitor that, you know,
right.
And follow it very closely.
And then a this latest lawsuit, then you think will be appealed?
From all indications.
Yeah.
And I only know what I saw in the paper and on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He and the parents seemed to indicate that they would proceed, mm-hmm. although they never came out. So we're definitely going to, I would imagine they will. So we'll just have to be prepared for that.
So this is just we have a series of sort of general overview, evaluative questions. And the first one is just your opinion of whether school desegregation here was a success or a failure. And I think you've answered that question.
I think it was a success, yes.
And in terms of, I mean, the process of desegregating, the way that I guess starting in 75, the implementation of that plan. Just trying to get an idea of who saw it as a successful implementation of that. I mean, in your opinion, did you see teachers as or administrators as the power that they exerted?
I think you had a fairly strong superintendent at that time. And I think a federal judge in Judge Gordon who was going to monitor it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think plus, because of the demonstrations, the African American community was going to monitor it also. I think one of the more interesting things, I think everyone realized that the African American community was going to bear the brunt of busing. But the vast majority felt that it was a price worth paying but equal education. So I think the success of it, a judge, superintendent, the Teachers Association is very strong here. And I think they played a major part. So I think it was a combination.
Right. But it really took those parents and their
commitment.
Yeah. And some brave students.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or all. Yeah.
They all were. So. And it's interesting over the years how the opposition to it has subsided. Until they bought that suit of Central, there was, every once in a while something would come up, but it was never a burning issue. And it has still not been a burning issue. I was suspicious, especially when they won. And Gordon won that. I knew he was going to make an assault on the rest of the system. It was a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. So those people who brought that suit, you see, is not representative of the larger,
no.
a large proportion of the community.
No. No. Can you excuse me for a second?
Yeah.
Let me see if it's.